Blog Talk Radio.
But the question was that whatever you have come through, you still have some bitterness in you. But if you connect with Jesus, he's a wonderful God. Bear witness today. You see, let me interpret the text if you would. If you want to know what the words meant, they were originally written in the 21st century. See, in the year that Isaiah wrote chapter 9, that Hebrew word for wonderful is called peres, which literally means miracle. So in other words, he's a miracle prophet. And the only reason that I'm preaching this morning and in my right mind is because Jesus is a miracle counselor. And don't look at me like you've never been through it. The very fact that you're in your right mind this morning is because Jesus is a miracle counselor. Not me, a good counselor. Someone who can handle what's going on inside of me. They can give me and deal with my mind and heart. But for someone else, it may be somebody who can represent you while you're dealing with some external thing that you can't deal with on your own. The New Testament says that we have an advocate to the Father. That's a lawyer or an attorney, because there's some stuff that you can't handle by yourself. But I'm here to tell you this morning that we have a miracle counselor whose name is Christ Jesus. And he'll go ahead of you to handle stuff that you can't handle on your own. He's a miracle counselor. Then it goes on and says that he's a mighty God and everlasting Father and a Prince of Peace. Now, let me make you understand that you need to understand how the Hebrew text was written. You see, it was written in Hebrew originally. And there were no punctuation marks. So the Old Testament was, when it was written, there was no Isaiah tacked on top of the page. It didn't have chapter or verse. There, in fact, were no chapters. There were no verses. There were no periods, commas, or exclamation points. These were added later to help us organize and think what and reflect on what God was trying to tell us. So the translation that you read will determine where the commas go. So in the King James Version, it says his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. But it wasn't written like that. They had no commas. So I can put a comma where I want to put it, because that's what they did. I can put that, his name shall be called Wonderful. Add a comma and think about it for a minute. Because you're supposed to pause when you come to a comma. Then I can talk about the fact that he's a counselor and place a comma so I can pause, and then I can put a space between about his mighty power. And then think about the fact that he's God and wisdom. I don't have to put everlasting Father together. I can just put everlasting, then come, then Father come, then Prince, and just deal with the glory. Or Prince of Peace, and just deal with it together. Or I can just say his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I can put it all together because he's all of that at the same time. It goes from Miracle Counselor to Mighty God. But why do I need a Mighty God after I just finished with a Wonderful Counselor? Well, it's because I don't always listen to good counsel. And the reason many of us are in trouble today is because we've ignored good counsel. And now we need a mighty God to get us up out of the stuff that we got ourselves in. So y'all not paying attention this morning. There's sequence there in Scripture. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, but that the life is in the law of the Lord. In the word of God and counsel of God do I meditate both days and night. And when we do that, we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and we'll bring forth our fruit, not in someone else's season, but in our season. So if your leaves are withered, if you're not prospering, it's a pretty good idea that you're not listening to good counsel. And because you ignore the counsel, you're suffering crazy consequences. But you don't have to jump off a bridge, because he's a mighty God. And he shows up to help me cope with my problems. Isn't it interesting that there is no name given to God that we got Wonderful Counsel. But this time it just says El, which means God. And because it means God, it doesn't limit what God can do. Whenever you read the Bible and it gives God's name, it's identifying his nature and his character. So the Hebrew people, they would experience God and give it his name to express the experience. They would say Jehovah Jireh, which means he provides. Then they would say and call him Jehovah Shammah, which means he's glad. Or Jehovah Shiloh, which means he's peace. Amen. Or Elohim, which means he'll make a way out of no way. See, they had an experience with God, then gave him a name to express the experience. But this time in our Texas morning, there's no name given. It's just God. Look at Moses as he meets God at the burning bush, at the tabernacle on the mountain, and God tells Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses said, God on high would tell them, but you have to first tell me what your name is. I can't tell Pharaoh to let my people go and not have a name for you. Because Egypt is a polytheistic community, meaning that they have more than one God. And all of the gods are small g gods that have a name. So, Lord, when I holler at Pharaoh, he'll want to know what your name is. So God said, tell Pharaoh. Now watch, because he's not going to give a name. Because to give a name would limit him to what you call. And if you give him one name, the Hebrew people wouldn't understand how big he is. So God tells Moses, tell Pharaoh that I am, sent you. To hear you. Whatever you need him to be, God says, I am that. Do you need a doctor? I am that. Do you need a healer? I am that. Do you need a COVID vaccine? I am that. Do you need a way maker? I am that. Do you need a door opener? I am that. Do you need someone to lift your burden? I am that. He's a mighty God. And not only is he a mighty God, but he's an everlasting Father. You know, folks in Florida, they're crying because of the pandemic. They couldn't get that engagement ring. Because of the pandemic, that house didn't come through. The car isn't there. And they're crying. And you're crying, not realizing that you have an everlasting Father. And do you know why it's important to have an everlasting Father? It's because I don't always understand a mighty God. God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do whenever he gets ready to. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are much higher than my ways. Sometimes God, he'll move in my life and I don't know why he moved like that. Sometimes he'll give me something and God, I don't know why you gave it to me. Sometimes he'll keep something away and God, I don't know why you kept it away. Sometimes he'll close a door and God, I don't know why you close. Sometimes he will open the door and God, I don't know why you open it. And because I don't understand God, I have to trust him as my everlasting Father. You see, when you deal with that word Father, that represents a relationship. God, he deals with our understanding, and he's too big for us to understand. Let me break it down like this. I have children, and they were young, I used to tell them to do something, and sometimes I would explain why I told them. But then sometimes I would just tell them to do. And I did this, friend. You just do. Help me preach this. And because they couldn't turn around and say, I'm not going to do that, they couldn't say that because I am the Father. Sometimes God will explain to us what he does. But sometimes you'll have to go through your situation without an explanation. But even if you go through it without an explanation, you'll have to keep trusting because he's your Father. Listen to Jesus on the cross saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And before he went to glory, he said, Father, unto your hand I commit my spirit. Now see, when he was asking a question, he was addressing the Father's God. But when he's talking about trust, he's addressing him as Father. He's the same person. And I may not understand him as God, but I must trust him as Father. And I see why some of y'all are not working with me. I lost a whole lot of folks when I brought up Father. Because for some, Father is a negative term. That's why you're talking about it. Because I said he's your